Welcome to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you could join us today. Today we're exploring the topic of success as seen through the eyes of a coach, athletic coach, Mr. Gregory Moss. We refer to him as Coach Moss. Coach Moss is a native Californian who has called his triangle his home for many years. He designed a student-athlete training program that's receiving high praise among parents and coaches and students. Many of our Courage cocktail conversations center on the success issue and how people navigate through concerns that relate to their everyday life. For example, fear of swimming, fear of flying. All of these behaviors, however, suggest different faces of fear. Today's program, Coach Moss lends his voice to our conversation about fear and how he converts fear into courage. He joins me live in the studio today. Now, before we talk to Coach Moss, we're going to ask him to tell a little bit about himself and what brought him to North Carolina. Welcome, Coach Moss.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here today.
It's great you're joining us today. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you arrived at Carolina?
Well, I lived in California, Seal Beach area, for about 29 years out in California. And I decided to, when my daughter started playing volleyball at the age of 12, I noticed that, you know, when you look at kids, the anxiety that existed when they were playing or just not being in the type of shape they needed to be in, I decided to get this 12s team and work with them to develop the mental attitude and the physical attitude that they needed to become a pretty good team. So I started training my daughter's team at that time down in California, Seal Beach Volleyball Club, and it was amazed after 3 months of mental training, the kids started really truly believing in themselves. And also with the physical training, it turned around that club. And this team went on to be like one of the top 12 clubs in the nation and California. So my daughter, being a top player as she grew older, one of the top players in the, I guess one of the top players in the nation, she received a scholarship at Duke University. Mm-hmm. And when she went to Duke University for the first 2 years, we stayed in California. We decided to end her sophomore year, we wanted to come up here just to have the pleasure of watching our kid play, because she is our only child. Uh-huh. So we moved up here, and a lot of the things that I taught down in California, you know, because I had a facility, Champions Quest,
yes,
where we trained young athletes, the physical and the mental part of the journey, that part of it I decided that I wanted to try to implement it out here in North Carolina also. So I came to work with the Triangle Volleyball Club, which is one of the elite clubs out here in North Carolina.
I believe that's in Morrisville, North Carolina?
Yes, Morrisville.
Okay.
So I started implementing a lot of the things that I taught down in California to a lot of the young athletes out here. And to my amazement, you know, it really surprised me how well they took it and they ran with it. So I've been pretty blessed to have trained some of the top juniors out here in North Carolina now. And then along with the CD that I produced, Footsteps of a Champion, 10 Ways to Develop a Winning Mindset, you know, they started listening to that. And behold, I started seeing a transformation of the athletes out here in the area.
Well, our listeners are going to have so many questions. So the first thing I'd like to tell them is the correct website, your website, where they can learn more about who you are and the work that you do.
Yeah, if they go to just Coach Moss.
Coach Moss on
M-O-S-S,
Google.
CoachMoss.com.
Okay.
And that's it.
Now, the program that you developed called Footsteps of a Champion, I am familiar with it and was very surprised and impressed by the overall perspective of the student as a whole person, not just an athlete, not just a student, but a whole person. Can you tell us how the program works?
Well, the program is about, it's divided into like 11 or 12 journeys. Mm-hmm. I call them journey steps. When kids are getting involved with sports, you know, sometimes the emphasis is on the physical aspect of the kid. And at some point in time, you have to realize that, you know, to get a balance between the kids, there has to be a physical and a mental aspect. So the Footsteps of a Champion program deals with the mental aspect of the journey, attitude, no fear, practice, all the things that are vital if you want to be a very good athlete. Without that component, the mental part, you see so many kids burning out on sports, or you know they get frustrated because everybody's addressing the physical aspect of the game and not the mental. Just like you train them the physical way, which I do, you also have to train them in a mental way. But it has to be simplistic when you're dealing with kids. I mean, you try getting some of the books that are out there, the psychological this on sports, you're going to lose your kid the first chapter. It has to be very simple.
Right. So what is it about the hallmark of a champion that you've noticed and have been able to distill into your programs?
Well, one of the things I try to explain to people is you have to have failure to succeed. Failure is a stepping stone. If you're not failing, you're not succeeding. And a lot of people don't get that. They look at failure as something as a negative. And I believe that as long as you learn from your failures, that's a good thing. Because without failure, how can you succeed? So I first try to teach my kids that it's okay to fail. If you're hitting the ball into the net, don't get upset. That's okay. If you're not being able to do one or two push-ups, that's okay. Learn from those failures. So now what do? You learn to do more push-ups so your body gets stronger. You work on your serve with a trainer to teach you how to serve the ball. So you look at your weakness, and if you fail, it's just an indicator of what you got to work on. So it's not a bad thing.
The examination of these boundaries that we come confront when we fail at certain things is very frightening for some people. Do you encounter that in kids?
All the time. And I think what happens a lot of time when kids encounter failure and fear, it can stagnate them unless someone comes along and says, it's okay to be afraid. Because we all have fear. I mean, and you have to teach kids how to deal with that fear because, you know, you hear parents saying, you need to be tough and not be afraid of this and that. And I go, you know what? That feeling is that of fear is for real. So you have to deal with that. You can't just brush over that. So my thing with kids when I train them, especially through the series, the tapes that I have, it teaches them to understand that it's okay to be afraid. Just learn how to deal with that fear.
When you combine the physical rigor of a training program at the same time the mental training program, do you find that kids get distracted, or is it a natural combination?
I think if you give them small steps in the physical and the mental, you can't bombard them with a ton of stuff. You know, like when I'm training the physical aspect of playing volleyball, take for example, we focus on maybe one or two things.
Just one or two things, like moves, like this is how you serve, this is how you pass the ball.
That's exactly. Okay. Because if you bombard them with too much stuff, they can become frustrated because, say, three out of the two things they don't do, they get frustrated because they can't do them. So I don't move forward unless they accomplish one thing first, and then we move on. And then within that, there's the mental training. So, like, if I'm teaching them how to hit the ball over the net, and they hit the ball over the net, and I watch their body language. A lot of times you see the head drop. Yeah. I address that right away.
And the head drop is telling you, the experienced coach, what?
Well, it's telling me that they're frustrated and that they're telling themselves in a way, I can't do this. And I tell them the human mind is like a tape recorder. What you record inside of that mind, it's going to stay there. If you tell yourself, I suck, guess what? You're going to suck. So you can't do that. You just got to look at it and go, I can do this.
So how do any of us change those tape recordings?
Well, I think with positive self-talk.
Talk about positive self-talk to me.
Constantly telling yourself, I can do this. If the ball hits the net, you go, I'll get the next one in. You can do this. I'm a great player. I always tell my kids that I train, the foundation has to be a belief system that you're good. And from an earthly standpoint, worldly standpoint, you may not be as good as what the world is telling you are, but you have to first create within yourself the foundation that you're good. Once you create that foundation, then you start to see changes. So I tell them, look like an athlete and act like an athlete. And if you got your head drooped down, that's not looking like an athlete. So I'm always on top of them about that foundation. You're the best player in North Carolina. within yourself. I mean, you're not walking around bragging and telling everybody I'm the best player in North Carolina, but within yourself, that has to be your foundation. You have to start with that, that you are one of the best players in North Carolina or wherever. And then I go, what do the best player in North Carolina act like? And you'd be surprised at the changes you start to see.
The narratives change when children and people are told that they can, there's an awareness that they can change what their own heads are telling them. What resistance have you encountered from parents for this viewpoint?
Well, you know, I think overall parents really have the best interests of their kids, but I just don't think they know how to go about getting the most out of their kids. Because with parents, I think what happens a lot of times is a parent's happiness, especially when you're dealing with sports, is centered around whether or not their kids are happy. So if you ever notice in the tournament, I mean, I've been to tons of tournaments and I'm very observant. If the kid is having a good day, the parent is having a good day. If that kid gets pulled out of a game or that kid is not having a great day, watch the parents' faces. You know, they frown, they don't want to speak to you at the end of the tournament. And that's, don't get me wrong, that's not all parents.
Of course,
I've run across some great parents. But a majority of them, you know, just don't understand about their input being instrumental in the achievements of their kids. So my program is not just for kids, it's about educating the parents also. I have a parent program on my website. It's a 30-day program, and it's free. It's a mental training program for parents. 30 days tells them exactly what they need to do and how to change so they can become champion parents themselves.
What have your student athletes felt about a parent that's gone through the 30-day program?
Well, you know, I've had kids come up to me and say, thanks, Coach Moss. My parent has completely changed their outlook as far as being positive and supportive, you know, so they love it. I mean, I've had parents come up to me honestly and say, thank you. I mean, I didn't realize I was this way until you made me realize it, and I went through the program, and I realized that the purpose of a parent is to enjoy the journey with their kids, not to instruct them or to try to be the coach.
When parents confuse their roles of parent with something else, teacher, coach, cheerleader, you run into trouble.
Exactly.
How can parents do the best job in supporting their kids' activities but respecting the distance?
I think it's a matter of looking in the mirror at yourself, but it's also a matter of like my program.
Yes.
Signing up for the free program. And don't take it, and not taking it personally, but understanding that there's ways that we can all get better as parents. And I think the parent that's able to do that is the one that normally changes, because you're not going to change everybody. But there are those parents that you can change. I mean, I've been successful with quite a few parents where their behavior is like night and day. I mean, because I used to go to games and a kid would be finishing a game up, and right away the parents telling them what they did wrong and why they didn't move their feet and blah, blah, blah. And I approach those parents, but they're approachable, though. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes,
and they're willing to listen. And I'll tell them what was going on, and they'll go, I'm not going to do that again. And they'll do it the next time the way I told them they should do it. And they're amazed at how happy the kid is. They feel better. The experience is all about enjoying the journey with your kid, not trying to direct the journey. You see what I'm saying?
I do. I have to tell you, I am a parent of a girl that plays volleyball, and this is how I came in contact with Coach Moss's fine work. I noticed that projection is such a big part of parenthood, that when the kid succeeds, the parent's happy, and when the kid doesn't do so well, parents don't do so well. You talked about this. Can you help break that connection for me and my listeners?
Well, I think parents need to realize that anytime you put your kid in a sport, say like volleyball or basketball or these clubs, you know, I mean, I think sports is a great way to teach them about life. And if parents need to realize that sometimes your kid has to scrape their knees in order to get better. So if a coach is is having problems with your kid or your kid is having problems with the coach, that really that interaction should be between the parent, not the parent, I'm sorry, between the coach and the kid. And I see parents bringing their kids, putting their kids' backpacks on their shoulders, bringing them water. And I'm sitting there go, man, they're not teaching them any of the life lessons. Because they need to know when they come into practice, they're responsible for bringing those things to practice. They're responsible for bringing their volleyball bags in to practice. They're responsible if something's going on with their coach. Talk to the coach. And if it's a matter of playing time, I tell them, don't go there saying, why am I not playing? Talk to it in the terms of a team. What can I do to help the team get better? What is it that I have to do to help the team? See, everything is about me in sports. And I think parents are missing the big picture as far as understanding that sports can help their kids grow. And without that there, how do they grow? You know what I mean? So how you break the cycle, I think, is you got to let parents know it's okay that Sally or little Johnny fall and scrape their knee a couple times. You know, don't always come to the rescue, because they're not going to learn how to deal with that.
When you speak to me about this ownership of responsibility, bring your own equipment, show up on time, this ownership issue seems to be falling by the wayside in parenting skills. Can you explain your experiences with this?
Well, like I said earlier, I just think that parents see their kids through their eyes. And parents need to realize that kids want to take ownership of something. So when you put your kid in a sport, that kid wants to take ownership of that sport. And parents are not allowing their kids to take ownership because they're involved. So the ownership is not through the kid, it's through the parent.
Do you think one of the reasons for that is the fear of parents that no longer being needed?
No, I think it's that pridefulness that parents have. You know, they want to know that their kid is the best kid out there on the floor. And sometimes your kid may not be the best kid out there on the floor. And it's not a matter of them not being the best kid out on the floor. They're missing all the other valuable things that they can get out of that kid playing. Because I'm telling you right now, it's all about parents wanting to feel like that's my kid. And when that kid is not doing well, parents feel down. And I'm sitting there going, but that's what I mean by they taking ownership away from their kid. Yes. And parents need to give the ownership back to their kid and lay back. Stay away from coaching them during the game or being bitter and talking about other kids. And you know what I'm saying? I think the key is looking in the mirror at yourself and saying to yourself, I'm going to make an effort to change for the betterment of my kid. And in the long run, it's better for the kid.
Well, I can see that it's better for the kid and for the parent and the whole relationship. But one concept keeps on coming up is competition. It's a competitive world. Yes. It's a competitive sports world, particularly younger and younger kids playing at more organized, highly organized levels of competition. People make investments. Parents invest money. They invest time. So their outcome of the child's performance becomes higher stakes. How do we manage this?
Well, I think you have to look at it in a different viewpoint, and that is, see, everyone's looking at it from the standpoint of I've invested in this program, and I want my kid to be the either the best player or a starter, and that's why I'm saying you need to look at the other components of what are they gaining. You know, they're practicing with other kids, learning social skills, they're learning ways of dealing with adversity and struggle, because welcome to planet Earth, there will be struggles in this world. So they need to learn. They learn how to deal with that. You know, they learn how to deal with authority, because you got to deal with the coach. I mean, there's a vast amount of positive things that come out of having your kid play. Keeping a child busy is critical today, especially with all the social peer pressure that's out there. There are so many kids that get in trouble because they have no outlets. So I think that money that you invest, don't get me wrong, you want your kid to play, but that's just one of many of the things that you want to get out of that whole investment.
Do you think that parents should be vetted as the children are vetted before they try out for team?
Yeah, when you mean vetted, explain that to me.
I mean that a conversation should be held between coach and between team for the parents. Just like the kids' sports being tried out, perhaps the parents should be tried out too.
Well, I agree with that. I think it's a situation.
Controversial.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's a situation where parents need to be able to sit down with their kids and get them to understand the purpose of playing sports. But I don't think really most parents understand that, though.
Yes.
Because most parents put their kid in sports because they're looking for the next great star to come from their little kids. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. You know what I mean? Because I hear it all the time, you know, how great their kids are. And it's good that you feel that way, but I'm telling you right now, parents need to be educated and understand what needs to be done. And that's why, like, my program on my website, it's free. The bottom line, it's free. It makes them aware and gets them understanding, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the journey that I need to take to help my kid. Because without that, how could they talk to their kids?
Well, you raised the specter of authority figures and how children relate to authority. Could you explain how they, if they have problems, and if they, how they get better at recognizing the authority of a coach?
Well, I think sometimes, especially when you're dealing with kids, you know, I always tell people kids are kind of a reflection of their parents. And that's not saying that to be negative.
Yes.
But if you have a parent that's very confrontational with their kids, how can their kids learn to respect authority and not be confrontational? So I think what I see a lot of times is there are parents that are very confrontational. Either my kid play or there's problems. And then the parents in the car talking about the problems, about the coach and how bad the coach is. So if the parent can't respect the coach, how do you expect the kid to respect the coach? Once you get in that car and you're heading home and the parents like, that coach sucks, a terrible coach, I mean, you just lost that whole respect for authority.
So in perfectly simple terms, what should the parent's conversation be with the kid in the car after a game where he sat out most of the time?
I think it should always be positive. I think it should be a situation where a parent inspires that kid to work harder, to do more. And I used to tell my kids when I was training back in California, and parents also, you should never say anything negative about a teammate, because it's not your responsibility to judge or say something negative about that teammate to your kid.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's a good advice.
So I think it's important that when they get in that car, don't even talk about the sport. Talk about something else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, most parents, right away, they bombarding the kid with, you know, you're not playing, you're, I don't know what's wrong with that coach, or you better than that girl out there, and she's playing more than you. See, all that negative stuff is being bombarded to these kids. And so that's why you have a lot of problems, especially at the club level, with people just being unhappy.
So in addition to these conversations, it's becoming clearer to me that you expect the student-athlete to navigate the relationship with the coach independent of the parent.
Well, it's hard to navigate independently of the coach if you're not taught how to navigate, is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
So, because you got some kids won't go to the coach. You know, the parent goes to the coach. So I'm saying the parent's responsibility is to teach them how to navigate to the coach.
I understand. Would you think in the work that you're doing now, using technology such as the web, that this information will carry forward? Or do you see that there still needs to be a great hand-holding process to what it is you're teaching?
Well, I think the main course for me, my vision is to truly educate parents.
Okay.
That's why with the information I have for kids, the CD and the programs I have, I had to really sit back and think about it, because I go, you can educate and teach kids all day long. They have to still go back into that environment with a parent that's telling them something different. So if you, without educating the parent, really the programs as far as trying to teach kids won't work. So my key is educating the parents, because I am a parent. I had a kid that played club sports. I went through the same thing as a coach, but I had to look at myself in the mirror and I had to tell myself what's better for my kid. And I used to teach my kid how to have that relationship with the coach. Even when things weren't going good, there's many days I wanted to say something, but because I wanted her to learn, I bit my tongue.
Also known as self-control.
Self-control.
Which I admire as a parent, but also as an athlete. Having self-control is a large part of success. Could you tell me what motivated you to step up to the plate and address this topic?
Well, you know, like I said, my daughter played club sports.
Yes. But she has long since succeeded.
Right.
But you stayed in the game.
Well, I stayed in the game because I truly see sports as a way of teaching kids about life. And I see so many kids that burn out in the sport. I see so many kids that are destroyed by not just a parent, but like a coach that doesn't understand how fragile the young man is. So I just made it a point. I prayed on it, and I just asked God to give me the strength to learn how to teach these parents, teach these kids that the big picture is not always just winning. It's about the journey and learning other things that you're winning from.
What I'd like to do now, Coach Moss, is take a brief break, station identification, and come back and pick up on that topic, a definition of success that may lead into a deeper sense of fulfillment in life, well beyond the athletic field.
Okay.
Thank you. Stick around. The 5th annual WCOM-FM fundraiser, Acoustic Fest, is planned for Thursday, October 13th, 7 to 10 p.m. at The Cave, which is 452.5 West Franklin Street, featuring Tim Stambaugh, Birds and Arrows, Harmonica Bob, and Near Blind James. Hope you can join us. Welcome back to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Today we're sitting with Coach Greg Moss, who is sharing his insight about successful coaching, successful parenting, and now our conversation is turning towards how we understand a meaning of success in the athletic field and what it means beyond the sport. Coach Moss, can you help me? What do you tell parents about success that helps their kids grow?
Well, I think success is part of that journey. You know, the road is always under construction, right?
Yeah, you betcha.
And, you know, success is learning different things along the way. There's really no end point you know, where you get to a point and you say, I'm successful in athletic sports. I think success is just learning. As long as you see progression and you see learning and you see kids happy with being socialized with the other kids, you see their skill level getting better, you see them performing in the tournament getting better, you understand the aspect of them learning how to deal with adversities, dealing with authority. For me, all that is part of the success journey. So success is not just one destination that you end at.
Yes.
It's a continuous learning point. So there's many successes.
One of the things that I struggle with, and know many other parents do, is that success in our measurement-centered society boils down to how many ribbons do you have? How many competitions did you win? These other definitions of success don't always necessarily carry along the medals or the way of measurement. How do you work with this?
Well, that's getting back to what I said earlier in our conversation, that you have to look at yourself. You have to be able to look in the mirror and understand the changes you have to make in order for your kid to be successful. And it's not just the kid, also it's the parent being successful. And I think the worldly view is a view I don't follow. I don't follow that model. Because winning is not all about holding up the trophy. Yeah. Winning is all about the effort that you give. And as long as you're learning, you are winning. I mean, that's how I look at it. Earthly definition is, you know, the gold medal around your neck, national championship. Don't get me wrong, those are all good.
Yes.
But I just think there's a different dimension of success that sometimes we overlook.
And that is a spiritual dimension.
Spiritual dimension.
I think this is important for our listeners. Can you explain to me how you connect the two? Or how did you transcend a worldly definition of success into a spiritual definition?
Well, myself, I'm a follower of Christ, you know, mm-hmm. and I know everybody has their own definition of their spiritual journey.
Yes.
So I'm not here to say, you know, as a Christian, you have to be a Christian to understand that. But for me, talking about for me now, I understand that, you know, when I read the Bible myself and understand what God's purpose is on this earth, I understand that part of the journey is giving thanks for what you have. And sometimes we always want more, but we don't take the time to look around and see that little Sally or Johnny is healthy. You know what I mean? All you have to do is go to the hospital and you'll see how blessed you are that you have a kid that can even be out there playing sports. And so we don't take the time to see that. So I try to tell people from a spiritual standpoint, and I say it's not about religion. It's about that relationship with the Father, mm-hmm. because he does exist, and having that relationship where you give him thanks for the things that you have. Not always things that you don't have.
The gratitude message is powerful. And children have to share in the gratitude message too. How do you teach the kids to experience gratitude?
Well, because I do a lot of mental training with a lot of the kids I train, I'm always telling them about giving thanks,
yeah.
and understanding that there's a universal creator. Mm-hmm. No, I call him God, mm-hmm. and I said, you have to give thanks to what you have and be able to look at the things that you have and understand that it's all about growing. I mean, without the universal Father and that spiritual connection, you don't know how to deal with struggles and adversity. By having that connection, at least when things are not going right, and trust me, I've been in this world long enough that you're going to have struggles. That's just part of life, you know what I mean?
Sure, but at least
you know how to deal with those struggles, though, and accept those struggles. That's a good thing. Because when I tell people that, sometimes they think I'm crazy. I go, you know, I always give thanks to God for the struggles I go through. And they go, well, what do you mean you give thanks? Well, without those struggles, you know, I can't grow in my faith.
Which brings us right back to the beginning of our conversation, where you said to me, Leanne, failure is such an important part of success. The willingness to make mistakes is important as long as you're willing to learn from these mistakes. But when mistakes are handed on to us and failure, we encounter failure, it's often hard to sustain the interest. Spirituality may influence this. Would you agree?
No, I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. But that's why I said it's important that you're able to look at that and learn how to get stronger in that area of your life. Just like physical training, you know, if you don't do any training, your muscles atrophied. So I think the same thing happens with your spiritual life and your mental life. If you don't develop those and train those, you really got to train those, then it's not going to grow.
And this isn't just for children in this experience you have.
Definitely not. It's for the parents, especially the parents, because I think the kids look to their parents.
Always. They always do. And I think parents can get caught up, unfortunately, in the worldly aspects of competition, both academic competition, chess championships, sports championships. It doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't.
This notion that parents must look in the mirror every day and see what it is they can do to be aware of this connection is probably the hardest thing for parents to do.
Well, it's very hard to do. Matter of fact, I just came up with a line of, it's called affirmation wear. And what they are is I got this one shirt that says champion parent striving to be better, but it's reverse. So the only way you can get the message is by looking in the mirror.
Yes.
And by looking in the mirror, you internalize that message, because the only way you're going to be a good parent is you got to strive to be a good parent. Parenting is hard. It's a lot of work.
Sure.
But you got to take the responsibility to say, though, I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to take this road. And I'm going to learn to develop my kid in this sporting environment where it's positive and it's healthy. You know, fighting at a tournament, cursing at coaches, your kids, talking about other people's kids, those are not healthy alternatives, you know what I'm saying, to the growth of your kid.
And the other question that comes to my mind is, when kids look at their parents and they see failure, what happens? If a parent speaks out, tries to control herself, tries to do something and fails, how does the kid interpret that?
Well, I think if the parent is not good at explaining to them about that failure, of course it grows on that kid. So that kid has nothing to model themselves after. If they have a parent that is failing and they see that parent is failing, but the parent's not explaining, like with my daughter, I used to explain all the time, the only way I'm going to be successful in anything I do, Rach, is I have to fail. It's all right to fail. And I've apologized to my daughter many a times for the failures of putting it on her. Because I wasn't the easiest coach and parent early on in her career.
Well, you were just under construction.
I was, you know.
That's aren't
good,
we all?
That's a good one. Yeah, I was under construction. But it was one of those situations where I had to look at myself in the mirror and look at my daughter and actually looked at her and apologize. I think she was about 12 when I did that. I say, you know, I apologize for my failures with you. And that kind of seeded in our relationship even more.
This is where I'm leading. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when I admit my mistakes, my daughter feels more confident admitting hers.
Yes.
And that describes a level of trust and honesty. When we're honest with ourselves, it's so much easier to be honest with other people.
It is.
So your comments really describe, we've emphasized parents in this conversation today, but I can imagine how school teachers might find this helpful. Because it's not just about competing on the field, it's about what the kids do in the classroom.
Right.
That matters. Have you had any teachers give you input about somebody's academics increasing because of this program?
Well, I've had quite a few that used the program and, you know, came back to me and said it helped as far as getting the kids to understand what's at stake along the journey. See, a lot of kids, when they get into the athletic journey, they don't understand the bumps in the road or the potholes.
Sure, sure.
And once you teach them what the potholes are, I mean, a perfect example, I had a kid that when I first started training her, she was always crying and always depressed if she wasn't doing something right. If you saw that girl a day, she's completely changed. And she wrote me this nice letter about how the CD transformed her mental attitude. And every time I'm working with her now, I see her, she has something to say, a quote out of that CD. You know what I mean? I can do this, coach. You know what I mean? It's all about me. My mind is my success. My success is my mind. And when you hear that, you go, wow.
My mind is my success.
My success is my mind.
My success is my mind.
Yes.
And that's an affirmation that you give kids through the CD.
And that's on one of the shirts that I have, you know, the affirmation where I have. But it's all about knowing that it's all up here.
Coach Moss is pointing to his forehead, his brain.
Yes.
But if you were to ask me, I would say you should be pointing to his heart. And the reason I say this is that I've witnessed Coach Moss coaching kids, and you embrace the children with this unconditional acceptance, who they are today. You meet them where they are today. You don't project where they were yesterday. You don't imagine what's going to happen tomorrow. You have a nuance. You understand where they are today. Can you explain how, what self-control, how you were able to master that skill of accepting people where they are now?
I can say it in one word, God.
Okay.
You know, because I pray on it, and I've asked them for these gifts, and we all have gifts. God gives us all gifts, and I think one of the gifts that he's given me is being able to dig deep inside the psyche of kids and parents and understand how to get the most out of these kids and how to educate parents without stepping on their toes. Because, you know, parents, it's all about how you approach them. And I think if you approach them in a way where they understand you're not criticizing them or trying to be judgmental, then it puts them in a more relaxed state to understand this is what has to happen. And because I've gone through the journey, you know, I have a facility down in California, Champions Quest.
You still have that, facility in California. Do you have another person running it?
Yeah, I have some partners running Champion Quest down there.
I did.
But it's one of the most successful sports academies in that area, part of Southern California. If you go to championsquest.com, you can read everything about the what we do down there.
And that's championsquest.com.
Yeah.
One word.
One word.
Okay.
And basically, through those experiences and through God giving me these giftings, I've just been able to see stuff that most people don't see. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying it's a gift.
It's discernment is,
yeah,
is an extraordinary,
you know, how you see
gift.
Something and you just go, oh, my goodness. And you react on it and you pray on it. And it's just, I thank God every day for those giftings that he's given me.
These gift things that you talk about improve the lives of children now and have a great bearing on how they move into their futures. Do you stay in touch with the kids you coach?
Quite a bit. I get letters, you know, quite a bit. You know, I'll get a letter from a kid I probably trained 10 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and it's from a parent just saying thank you so much for the experiences and the lessons that you taught my kid and myself. You know, so those are some of my best times when I get people calling me from California and just saying, I just was thinking about you, Coach Moss, and just want to let you know, you were vital in the development of my kid in sports, and you helped me to enjoy sports more. Because you'll be surprised how many parents go to sporting events and they have anxiety, and they can't enjoy the sport. You know what I'm saying? They're too involved in just relax, take a deep breath, and just enjoy the sport. You know, my daughter's playing for Duke.
Yes.
I had parents come to me all the time. Coach Moss, don't you ever just get excited? He said, I see you watch. I say, my joy is within. I celebrate within. But I'm not going to go on this emotional roller coaster because that's her stage right now. I'm just here to enjoy her stage. Enjoy the journey.
Spoken from the words of a master.
Well, I don't know about a master.
Your new initiative here in the Triangle region, can you tell us about it, a little bit about it?
Well, you know, I used to, you know, I was with Triangle for 4 years.
4 years, okay.
Volleyball. And Triangle was a great club. I mean, they gave me the opportunities. So, you know, I have nothing but high praise for Triangle Volleyball Club. But, you know, sometimes you get to a point where your vision needs to expand. And sometimes you come to a point where, you know, people have to part. So we didn't part on a negative note.
Yes.
It was a positive note. But right now what I wanted to do is I wanted to get more kids that normally doesn't play volleyball. You know, I've been talking to a lot of the, like, inner city kids or, you know, different kids that just haven't been exposed to volleyball. I want to get them involved in volleyball. So what I've been doing is working with, contracted out with a club called United Volleyball Club. And our goal is to bring in a national group of kids, a three-year plan, where we want to bring in a bunch of kids that for the first time in North Carolina, we want to win a national championship. That's my goal, you know. And the kids that may not be of a national level, we still have levels for them to play in. Because I believe every kid should have the opportunity to play volleyball, whether they the best ones or they not the best ones. But my goal right now is just to expose a segment of the population to volleyball, you know, and have a diversified club where, you know, you got all these kids here and kids from all parts of the area coming together and teaching these parents not just about volleyball, but basically how to get along. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because I know I was in a hitting clinic that I put on last week, and the parents came in. We had about 16 kids. You had all these parents in there, but you had no. You ever see me when I make the kids give each other the handshake?
I certainly do. Coach Mox makes everyone shake hands. It's a
acknowledge
each and other. It's a.
So I made the parents get up from that side to that side to that side. I told them to get up and introduce themselves to each other. And they did. And then you found them talking and found out some of them had interesting things in common. But that's what the world is about, man. It's about coming together. Because we all brothers and sisters when y'all think about it. We just got different houses.
Sure.
Color houses, you know what I'm saying? But we all the same. We all got one father.
There was a man, I'm sure you know who I'm going to talk about, called Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah, I remember Mr. Rogers.
I think about Mr. Rogers pretty nearly every day.
Oh, really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. And when you talk to me and describe the relationship that you teach parents and each other, it helps me understand the value of respecting each other and these very fundamental human-to-human contact, which in this world of technology sometimes falls away.
Yes.
So when you describe this, I understand the value. What is your biggest surprise when you are working in the work that you do? What do you now, when you think about it, was there any real big surprises?
Well, you know, for me, really nothing surprises me. You
know, I've seen it all.
Yeah, because I think you're capable of accomplishing many things if you truly believe that. But I guess the biggest thing that I've seen is I've worked with kids that people have kind of given up on and didn't really look at them as really good athletes. And I've been able to take these kids and work with them. And without 6 months, you know, you hear people go, oh, my goodness, this girl is so. Well, it's always been there. It's like walking around looking at a house with weeds and broken windows and a bad fence and saying that house is bad. But if you pull the weeds off, put some paint on that house and fix the windows, and the house looks pretty good. So that's the same thing as kids. You know, sometimes you got to be able to look at a kid and not for where they're at right now, but look at where they can be. And that's what I teach kids, that never let somebody else's perception of your talent become your reality. You know what I mean? You have it within yourself to be as good as you can be. And then you see these kids get good, and people go, oh, my goodness. And I'm not surprised at it. I just go, I expect it to happen.
When we raise our expectations of ourselves, magic happens.
Right.
Whose job is it to set those expectations?
Wow. Let me think about that one there. I would say the parents.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're around the kids more than anybody. So, but I think with parents, though, you got to be careful because parents can set expectations that aren't real sometimes.
Yeah.
You know
the scholarships.
Oh, my goodness. So I think it has to be something that comes internally,
yes,
from the kid. But again, we're getting back to the kids have to be taught that, though.
And so when you feed kids creativity, examples, illustrations of success, illustrations of achievement, overcoming barriers, you present them with the raw material to build greater expectations. So Tell us in what you now know about your training experiences of what you would hope to happen over the next 5 years with the sport of volleyball in North Carolina.
Well, my thing is, you know, I'm coming from California, which is a very competitive yes. area for volleyball. Mm-hmm. I understand that when I came up into North Carolina, there are kids that are good athletes. So there's no difference between the California kids that I saw, that I trained,
yeah,
and the North Carolina kids from just a raw athletic.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Raw materials equivalent. Okay.
I think the difference is the effort and the training back in California was a lot more intense than the training they get out here.
Historically, have they always had a deeper understanding of the sport of volleyball, whereas the East Coast may not have?
Well, you know, volleyball in California is kind of like a mecca out there.
I see.
I mean, because they play volleyball year-round, beach volleyball. Most of the clubs train anywhere from 3 to 4 days a week. You know, out here it's 2 days a week. So, you know, you get a team that's training 4 days a week, and sometimes 5 days a week, how can you compete with that? So my thing is to change the culture as far as what is expected. That's why one of the reasons I left Triangle to go out on my own, because that was my vision. My vision was, I know what it takes mm-hmm. to get to the next level. The next level is not, I'm not preoccupied with just winning. I'm preoccupied about developing, but I want to set a precedence up here where people go, oh my goodness, these kids are like really good. And that takes hard work. So
I feel that I'm sitting with a mature coach who recognizes the commitment involves more than the child and the parent, but it involves a community, that we have to understand that to get to this elite level of sports, it requires effort that we have not seen heretofore.
Well, I mean, you have those that said there is, but in reality, you know, we have a long way to go. And like I try to tell people in the volleyball world, it's like I tell people, it's not so much a family, because a family doesn't let go of anybody, right?
No.
It's more of a village and a community. As long as you're part of that village and that community, our responsibility is to take care of your kids and to make sure we give them the best possible opportunity to succeed. And succeed don't always mean the very best. It just means improvement and progression to being the best that you can be. And that's kind of what my vision is here, is once we integrate that into these athletes that are here, I think sky's the limits.
And I can see how serious you are about this and how passionate you are about the quality of the programs. And it wouldn't surprise me that this is certainly well within your reach. May take a few years, but this is going to happen. And
it
you're going to come back, and I'm going to be interviewing you when you win those championships.
Well, you know, one of the greatest things that happened to me up here is I met great people like yourself.
Thank you.
And that's really what makes it a rewarding experience, is when you meet good people. And I've met bad ones, but the good ones are the ones that make me realize there's hope for the athletic parent out there.
Absolutely, because we are a group of people who are striving to be better.
Right.
We acknowledge we are under construction, but we also find talent here, talent in coaching,
right,
and found in yourself. So one last time, please tell our listeners how they can reach you, the many different ways.
Well, you go to my website, CoachMoss.com, or you can reach me at CoachMoss@CoachMoss.com.
Okay.
That's my email address.
Okay.
And, you know, go to the website, get the free, F-R-E-E is free, free information for champion parents.
Champion parents.
It's a free email program.
Okay.
And then the CD, 10 Ways to Develop a Winning Mindset for Your Kid, is a must.
Okay.
You get those things, and then you interact with me, and I guarantee you, you start to see changes in the way your kid perform out there on the
floor. It's a privilege. You've shared your time with me today and Courage Cocktail. And you've addressed many fears, fear of failure, fear of success. And I'm looking forward to watching you advance and bring the sport of volleyball up to a level that you know it will be here. So for the moment, I'm going to take a short break and do some of the mailbag and do a quick nip. But hold on, please. We will be right back. Welcome back to Courage Cocktail. I've hoped you enjoyed our conversation with Coach Greg Moss. He is an insightful coach that we have here at the Triangle. Many of his points include attitudes that extend well beyond the Triangle. And in this day and age of sports and the activities of kids and adults, it's vital to have every so often have insight like Coach Moss's. Today's quick nip comes from Winston Churchill. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. In the mailbag, many of our Facebook fans have noticed a change in their news feeds. Here's a quick fix to remedy the problem. Log into your Facebook account. Search Courage Cocktail, hosted by Leanne McClymont. Hit the like button. This will restore lost news feeds that you may have dropped off of our news feed. Facebook is moving fast to recover new changes and make their product easier to use, but sometimes in the process, their news feeds change. Courage Cocktail would like to thank Triangle Swim School, located at the Aquatic Center in Cary, North Carolina, for their continuous and generous support of our program. They are right next to the Carytown Mall on Interstate 40 at exit 291. Small classes making great strides. Thank you for joining me today on Courage Cocktail. I look forward to being with you next week. And you remember, you bring the lunch and I'll bring the Courage Cocktail. This is WCOM LPFM 103.5, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.